kind of gave y'all some statistics, some analytical statistics, but here it is. Within the last 28 days, we've reached over 12,000 people. 12,700 people. Hallelujah. See, some of y'all not clapping because you're like, what does that mean? That converts to souls. That converts to people who have heard the gospel. Right? So we're not about having a presence on Facebook just to say that we're here. The goal of this ministry is to reach souls. Amen. Amen. So that's 12,000 potential souls for the kingdom and for the glory of God. Amen? So we have engaged over 3,800 people. So that means that over 3,800 people in the last 28 days, we have actually engaged. They have been to our Facebook page. They have liked our page. They have perused the page and all of that. So again, what does that mean for us? That means souls. Somebody shout souls.
Souls.
Yeah. It means souls. So we're excited about that. So as we increase our social media awareness and our platform, I pray that you go and like our page, share with all your friends and family and all of that. That's a bigger opportunity for us to reach more people. Well, let's get into this thing. Tell your neighbor it's time for the word. Tell your other neighbor it's time for the word. Do me a favor, wake up your other neighbor right quick. Just nudge him, tell him, wake up. You know, it's time for the word. Amen. It's time for the word. Here at Elevate Church, for those of you who know and for those of you who don't, I'm going to tell you again. Here at Elevate Church, we are not a pedestal for a person, nor we are so focused on the individual, but we're a platform for people. Not a pedestal for a person, but a platform for people. Not to lift up a person, but to lift up the person of Jesus Christ. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
And not to lift pastor up and put him on a pedestal. Not to lift up apostle or prophet, evangelist, or the head usher or head greeter. No, we're here to lift up Jesus. And as we're lifting him up, we're creating a platform for people to stand on to share their gifts with the body of Christ. So we're not a pedestal for a person, but we're a platform for people. Here at Elevate Church, we're gathering of believers where everybody can feel like they belong so that everybody can become all that God has created them to be. So together it's believe, belong, and become. We started this new sermon series, and I want to bless you real quick in the Word of God. But we started this new sermon series entitled Overflow. We actually started several weeks back. So we're going to carry on in that same thought of the overflow. So as you know, we social media geeks around here. So hashtag overflow on Twitter and Facebook, if you would, and do all of those things. So grab your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 25. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 25. Hold your finger there. Dance over to Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. Can we make sure the proclaim is pulled up on the computer back there so I'll be able to control it? Amen. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 25. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. When you have those two passages of scripture, would you stand to your feet with me in the honor of God's, the reading of God's word on tonight? Proverbs chapter number 11, Matthew chapter number 11. If you have it, say amen. Just still look and say hallelujah. Amen. One hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Why are you trying to get your way there? Amen. We're gonna make our faith confession on tonight. So if you would repeat these words after me, would you say, tonight I'll be taught the word of God. My spirit is ready. And my mind is sharp. I believe the word. The word is truth. It is without error. I believe what the word says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me. I am redeemed. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. No sickness nor disease shall come near my home. I'm more than a conqueror. I am rich. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Now you got to hear that because that's the word of God. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. That's what God says for your house. But watch this. The Bible says that we have treasures in earthen vessels.
Amen.
So there's treasure on the inside of you. So make it personal.
Wealth and riches
shall be in my house. Come on, prophesy
of
your neighbor. Say, wealth and riches
shall be in your house.
I think your other neighbor jealous, so talk to your other neighbor. Say, wealth and riches
shall be in your house.
Point to the four walls of this house. Say,
wealth and riches
shall be in this house.
Shout,
I'm blessed to be a blessing.
My house is blessed.
My children are blessed.
My marriage is blessed.
My church is blessed.
I'm blessed.
Now shout amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you can. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That when you refresh others, the byproduct of you refreshing them, you're refreshed yourself.
Amen.
That a prosperous person is one that sows into another's life. And as he is sowing into another's life, he reaps something back in his own.
Amen.
It is called the law of reciprocity. Sowing and reaping. You can't put it in and not expect nothing to come out. But you also can not expect to not put something in and expect something to come out. So if it goes in, it has to come out. So as you refresh others, in return, you're refreshed yourself. Now, here it is in my own life, transparent moment, is that when I'm going through a tough time, when I have those moments where those thoughts and the devil come in my mind, you know, try to, you know, oppress me in my mind and all of those things, and when I'm not in my happy place, I go and find somebody who is unhappy and I sow seeds of joy in their life. When my pockets are kind of low, I find somebody whose pockets are even lower and I just sow a little seed in their life. Because as I'm refreshing them, so am I refreshed. So you just refresh folk. You know what I'm talking about? You just refresh folk, you know? And you just do that because eventually it just come back around. Y'all know, in the hood we say, what goes around? Okay. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Or in other words, I'll refresh you. You changed it? Thank you, son. Amen. Where the cover at? Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I know y'all been standing a long time, but I'm going to be standing longer than you, so y'all be all right. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest or refreshing for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, we thank you for a time of refreshing in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. Would you slap high five with your neighbor on the way to your seat and say, refresh me.
Refresh me.
Refresh me. Refresh me. During this time, we're going to teach you tonight and have also an opportunity for you to have some participation. So we're going to be animated tonight and we're going to talk to one another on tonight. For those of you who were not here on the beginning of our sermon series entitled The Overflow, I gave you a definition of a father. The definition of a father. A father is one that brings into being to pass on the potential for likeness, or the father is the originator or the source. Somebody shout the source. The father is the source. The father is the source. The seed comes from the father and is planted in the mother. And it produces a life. It's a source. That you have life in your body now because the Father planted a seed in you. He breathed Zoe, pneuma, into your body. When he formed man, he breathed, and man became a living what? So, a living being, a living soul, a living being. Why? Because God planted a seed of life in you. God gave you the breath of life so that you can have life. So the Father is the source. He is the originator. He is the one of which all things come from. He is the originator of all things created. There was no creation or no created thing that came before God. That's why it troubles me so with all this new age religion that says that the universe, well, who created the universe? You know, it's the energy and all. Who created the energy? I feel the energy. Oh, the trees. Huh? Who made the trees? Come on, talk to us, Job. God told Job, I mean, God went in on Job. Y'all remember Job? Poor Job. Job had it bad, y'all. You know, Job went through it. And I'll give you my revelation on Job later, but Job, God goes in on Job. And then, you know, Job said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. And then Job began to talk to God about all his problems. And God tells Job, he said, Job, where were you when I created? Where were you when I formed and fashioned? I mean, he goes onto Job for 3-4 chapters. Just go in on Job. Job, you ain't all that you think you are. So who created everything? God is the creator of all things. He is the originator of all things. Every created thing was created by God. There is no creation that the creator did not create. So now we have gotten into the mindset and the mind frame where we worship the creation instead of the creator. Now watch this. So if we worship the creation of things and not the creator of things, there are some things that we have created ourselves. So therefore, we have made ourselves a god. Y'all quiet this place. There are some things created by man's hand. That there are some, watch this, American idols. Ooh. So we have created gods. And some gods we have created of ourselves. Oh, we just love, we worship our past. Don't worship me. I'm like, Paul, I'll rip my clothes. I'm just a mere man, just like you. Hallelujah. So here it is. The Father is the source. He is the originator. He is the source of all things. The source is a generative force. It's the cause, a point of origin, the procurement, or the beginning. The source is also one that initiates. He is the author. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. And he has everything in the middle. So he is the source. The Father is the source. There are two ways that we are to please God. I'm just giving you a little recap now. Two ways to please God, not to please God. The first way that we do not please God is in our flesh. You cannot please God in your flesh. God is not pleased with your flesh. Matter of fact, God says that no flesh can glory in his presence. God is not pleased when we make fleshly decisions. That when we do things without first getting instruction from God. There are some things we do on our own. And God says, I'm not pleased with that. So we cannot please God in our flesh. The other way that we cannot please God is having no faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to what? So God is only pleased by faith. Faith, faith, faith. Watch this. There are six steps to the overflow. Six steps to the overflow. If you're taking notes, write them. It's a good place to write them down. Six steps to overflow. The first step is prayer. You got to learn how to pray. Prayer is communication between you and God. The second step is praise. You got to learn how to praise. Praise is just not for your triumph, but it's also for your trials. I'm going to say that again. That's one of those tweetable things. Praise is not just for your triumph, because after victory, we want to praise God. After we get the house, we praise God. After we get the car, we praise God. After we get the job, we praise God. After we get the healing, we praise God. But praise is just not for your triumph. It's also, for your triumph, it's also for your trials and your tribulations. Because when you begin to praise God, it now invites God into your space. Your praise invites God into your problem. See, God. Let me give you a Bible with it. It says God inhabits. So when you praise God, even in the midst, that's what Paul said. I count it all joy through all trials and diverse temptations. That when I'm going through it, I count it joy. In other words, I give God praise.
Because it's praise that's going to get me through. It's praise that's going to open the door for God to step in. Praise invites God into your problems. So when you're stuck between the problem and the promise, there has to be praise. God Almighty. That when you're stuck between the rock and the hard place, that's a good place for you to open up your mouth and give God praise. Because it's praise that's going to get you through the breakthrough. It's praise. You got to learn how to get your praise on. I think, what's her name? She said, put a praise on it. You got to put a praise on it. Now, we ain't going to coast now. Put a praise on it. She may get some CD sales if I say her name online. And we ain't going to get no royalties, no kickback. Amen. So praise. Another step. you caught that on the back end. Huh? You're slow tonight, TJ. Another step to the overflow is position. Prayer, praise, and position. You got to position yourself for the overflow. You got to position yourself for the overflow. If you're out of position, then you'll miss the flow of the overflow. So you got to make sure you're in position. You got to make sure you're in position. A lot of times we allow problems to push us out of the way and push us out of position, and we miss the overflow. That's why you got to get your praise on. That's why you got to learn how to pray so that you can stay in alignment, in position, so that you won't miss out on your overflow. Somebody shout overflow. The next step is provision. Provision is simply sacrifice. You will have nothing if you sacrifice nothing. Everything you have costs something. Everything that you will acquire in life costs something. Well, I got it free. Somebody paid the price. Salvation is free. Somebody paid the price. Everything that you would acquire in life costs something. Your life costs somebody else's life. Did you hear me? Your life costs somebody their life. Somebody had to get hung high. Hung high. Stretch wide. With a spear, they pierced his. He hung his head in. It cost him something. Cost him his life. So the step to the overflow is provision or it's sacrifice. David said this, I don't want nothing that don't cost me something. I would not get nothing from God unless it costs me something. It's going to cost you something. Tell your neighbor it's going to cost you something. Yeah, it's going to cost you something for the overflow. The fifth step is preparation. You got to prepare. I'm excited because what God is doing here at Elevate Church, he's doing it expediently. It's happened fast. The prophetic word, Prophetess Brown prophesied on Sunday, the word of the Lord was that it's going to be like bamboo shoots. It's going to shoot up real fast. And that's what God is doing. He's doing it expediently. It's happened quickly, right? The growth of the church has happened quickly. It's happening, right? So what God is doing is happening fast, but there has to be preparation. I'll say it to you again. Your blessing is in proportion to your preparation. I snapped myself on that one. You will only get as much as you prepare for. If you prepare for little, you're going to get little. If you prepare for much, you're going to get much. Watch this. Even in your occupation, you will only get as much from your job as you have prepared for. I want a promotion. You haven't prepared for a promotion. Get to work late. Don't work as hard as everybody else. Don't have as much education as everybody else. Y'all quiet. So as you prepare more and more, you get more and more. Hallelujah. Now short of the favor of God. Somebody shout, that's favor. You know, God will promote you in some things and show you favor. You ain't got no degree, no education, none of that. That's just God there. I mean, that's God. That's God. That is what you call the sovereignty grace of God. Yeah. See, when the sovereignty, I feel the Holy Ghost, y'all. When the sovereignty grace of God comes in, it has nothing to do with you. Ooh, God. When the sovereignty grace of God steps in, it ain't about your prayers, it ain't about your process, it ain't about your preparation, it ain't about how much money you have, it ain't about how many times you serve in church, how much you read, it don't matter for none of that. When the sovereignty grace of God comes in, God just steps in and does what he wants to do because he wants to do it. And it's irrespective of you. There's some things God is about to do in your life you didn't even pray for. God. There's some things that God has already prepared for you that you hadn't even thought about. God says, look, you've been poor and wretched, you old sinner, you hadn't prayed in a long time, but just because I love you, I'm going to do it. Oh, Lord, I felt the religious spirit come to the door. He says, while you were yet sinners, Lord, I'd have messed up. Why you blessed me like this? I just love you that much. God, you know I hadn't been faithful. But I'm faithful to you. That's the sovereignty grace of God. God, why are you healing him? He don't even know you. It's the sovereignty grace of God. Watch this. It is because of the goodness of God that leadeth one unto repentance. God says, I'm doing it just because I love them. And watch this. I'm wooing them. Oh, God. I feel God is wooing somebody tonight. He wooing you. Oh, God. You know how it is, ladies, when you meet that man, he put his best game on. Every time you see you, he got flowers. Oh, God. You know, get your best game on, you know. Take it to the finest restaurants, you know, drape you in diamonds and pearls. Then you get married, he get fat and bald. Lord Jesus. You married a stud, he became a stump. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. But when the sovereignty grace of God steps in, he does it regardless of you. That God just does it because he loves you. I think somebody needs to hear that tonight. God loves you. No, you're not in the place you ought to be. No, you're not in the position that you should be. You have fallen short of the glory of God. Your passion and your desire for him is not like it used to be. You've fallen away from your first love. Your passion and your zeal for the things of God has not intensified in years. When you read, there's no excitement about the presence of God. You just do it out of duty. But God loves you enough that even in spite of you removing yourself from his glory, he still blesses you. He loves you. Hadn't been in church in years, but God still loves you. Still providing for you. Still breathing breath in your body. Watch this. Still lending you his spirit. Good God Almighty. He could have took his spirit a long time ago, but he loves you. You know, the spirit that you have is on loan. Oh, God. To be absent from the body is to be present. That the moment you die, the spirit removes from your body and goes back to God because it belongs to him. So the spirit you have is on loan. If God lifts his spirit from you, you die on the spot. Gee, God. But he loves you enough that in spite of yourself, he still loans his spirit out to you. Good God Almighty. Yeah, somebody ought to thank him right there. Because he's been better to you than you've been to yourself. He loves you far greater than you love yourself. Oh, God, why they had to die? You love him. You warned him. Now God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Boy, I felt like singing right there. Oh, how he loves me. This thing came bubbling up. It felt good, but I'm sure it wouldn't have sound good. I mean, I felt that thing real good, y'all. I was about to open up my mouth. Oh, and they said, nope. Y'all laughing too hard at that. I'm going to fool y'all one day. I'm going to sing, and the paint going to fall off the wall. The last step to the overflow is to possess it. Possess it. So you got to have prayer, praise, position, provision, or sacrifice, preparation. And the last step to the overflow is you have to possess it. You got to hold on to it. Possession is when you embody that thing, and that thing embodies you. You know, when you have demonic possession, that means that spirit has taken hold of you, and the thing that you want to do, you find yourself not doing. Why? Because it has possession of you. So the overflow, you have to take possession of it. You got to hold on to it. But not just hold on to it, but it has to hold on to you. You become one with it. There's some things that God has done in your life in time past that it has fleeted from you because you didn't hold on to it. There are some dreams and some visions God had placed in your life, and it was starting to come to pass, and it was like the wind fleeting, and it blew like the dust. Why? Because you didn't hold on to it. There are some promises and some breakthroughs in your life. Wow, God, I hear you. There's some deliverances that took place in your life, and God delivered you, but it's now back on you. Because you didn't take possession of your deliverance. Hey, God. You didn't hold on to it. God did it, but you didn't hold on to it. God, why I'm going through this again and again? He says, take possession of the promise. Take hold of it. Take hold. Don't let it go. I blessed you with the job, now you're unemployed. I blessed you with the house, now you done lost it. I blessed you with the car, now it's sitting on blocks. You got to take possession of it. And watch this. You got to fight for it. Tell your neighbor, fight for it. He told the children of Israel, go and possess the land. Now watch. He said, go possess it. But there's giants in the land. So in order to take hold of it, you got to fight for it. Tell your neighbor, you got to fight for it. So I got the land for you. It's yours. Possess it. But you got to fight. And a beautiful thing about God, watch this, is, again, here's the sovereignty grace of God, is that he charges them to fight for the land, but they never really had to fight. God says, just go in the land. Just go in the land. Possess it. Fight the giants in the land. They get to the land, the giants wax cold in their hearts and they flee. Victory. They never had to fight. Walls of Jericho on the way to the promised land, just shout. Fortified city, 101 record, never lost a fight. Enemy had never scaled the walls of Jericho. Every enemy that came against Jericho was defeated. Some archaeologists say that the walls were 2 miles thick. Dear God. Archaeologists have proved that they have dug up the walls of Jericho. The walls were so thick, the houses, watch this, the houses was made inside of the wall. Had to be a pretty thick wall to have a house built inside of it. And then watch this, when they unearthed in the Jericho walls, the walls were not pushed inward, nor were they pushed outwardly. They collapsed upon one another. God took his mighty hands and said, when you're ready to shout, boom. They never fought. They just showed up. That's all they had to do. But watch this. Once the battle was over with, now they had to maintain the land. They had to possess it. In other words, that there'll be other enemies. Oh, God, I hear you. There'll be other enemies that once God blesses you with the thing, that you have to now maintain the thing. Because there'll be enemies. Watch this. Better yet, fast forward, there'll be some haters. They'll come and try to claim your land. So you got to fight for it. You got to possess it. So tell your neighbor you got to possess it. Life fact number one, nothing in this world gives lasting satisfaction. Nothing in this world gives lasting satisfaction. Everything is temporary. The only thing that will give you lasting satisfaction is the presence of God. Transparent moment. I used to get high. But I had to go from high to high. Because it was never lasting. Y'all, come on now. Where my club goers at? You know, in the street we call you tokers. You know, you just toke a little bit. Tell on yourself, TJ. But you had to go from one to the next because it was never lasting. Never lasting. I told you a couple of weeks ago, the reason why people are addicted to anything is they're chasing the high or the utopia of the first experience. Because that experience expired, so they're chasing after the experience of the first time. Because it didn't last. And because it didn't last, they're constantly pursuing after it. That's why God says he wants to be your first. Because if he's your first, it's everlasting. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst. He said, let me be your first, and you'll never thirst for nothing else. Let me be your first. Single ladies, young kids, that's why you got to keep yourself. Young boys, keep yourself. Because nothing lasts forever. And you always be chasing after your next. And your next. And your next. And your next, and your next. And when you have grown tired of that next, you go find another next. Now you run from addiction to addiction. You give up one thing to pick up another. I hear you, Lord. Well, Pastor, I quit smoking and took up eating. Well, I've been fasting from eating, but, you know, brother got to get a shop on. You changing one addiction for one vice for another. One for another. Because always chasing after the next. That's why this world is in the situation that it's in, because we're always looking for the next. Running after the next greatest thing. Greedy. Trying to get more. Watch this. More of the first experience. Not more of that. More of the first experience. Because if the first experience wasn't a good experience, you wouldn't be looking for another experience. If you had a bad experience, you wouldn't look for another experience. You know, some restaurants you go to is a bad experience, you don't go back. Hello. Come on, I'll clap my son. You won't go back because it was a bad experience. There's some people you deal with, you had a bad experience, you don't deal with no more. Because it's a bad experience. But you come into a good experience, you want more and more and more and more. Some of you are here tonight because you had a good experience Sunday. Some of y'all go home and make that midnight call because you... I'm going to leave it alone. Fact number two. What you sow is what you will reap. What you sow is what you would reap. Hallelujah. What you sow is what you'll reap. What goes around comes around. So question to you tonight. As I pause for a second. What have you sown that you're reaping of currently? What have you sown that you're reaping of currently? Because there's some seeds you have sown. There's some wheat and some weeds that you have sown. So you have sown some good seeds and you got a good harvest, but there are some weeds, some bad seeds that have been sown. You sowed it, now you're reaping of it. Now watch. It comes in waves or it comes in measures. 30, 60, 100-fold. Some of you ought to be thanking God now that his sovereignty have kept you at the 30-fold. Because really you deserved 100-fold. I'm talking about the bad seeds you sown. Really, it should have been, the consequence should have been far worse. You should have been dead. You should have lost your mind. You should have lost it all. But God says, I love you too much for you to lose it all, because if I take it all from you, you'll lose the greatest thing I gave to you, and that's me. Hey, God. So he kept you at the 30-fold. Now watch this. We're all excited about the 30-fold when it's on the increase side. But how many people shout when the 30-fold on the decrease side? Then don't sow it, and you won't. If you don't want the decrease, don't sow on the decrease side. You got to sow good seeds to get a good harvest. And we're not talking monetarily. There's some things we have sown. Watch this. Dr. Brown had to get on me the other night. I had to kind of give some clarification. But I said something the other night. But there's some words you have said that were seeds that were sown. Ain't nobody hiring. Ain't nobody going to hire me. I'm too old. I'll never get my life together. Hello. You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. And if you say it long enough, you believe it long enough. And watch this. The Bible says you shall have what your mouth. So what your mouth says, you're going to have it. Why? Because if you say it long enough, you're going to start believing it. Now watch. Nobody never hired me, and you'll pass by 15 stores with now hiring signs. I can't find no job. Because you say nobody going to hire you. So you done shut your doors of opportunity by your words. And you just be passing by and just be boo, boo, dee, boo, dee, boo, doo, boo, 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 boo. And opportunity be knocking. Boo, doo, 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 doo. Watch what you say. So watch this. So you got to have the Godfidence. Godfidence is completely confident in God, in the ability of God. It's one thing to have confidence in yourself, but it's another thing to have the God kind of faith, to have Godfidence, confidence in God, confidence in God. See, that's where your overflow comes in, is when you have confidence in God. Because your confidence in yourself will only take you so far. On your own ability, you can only get so far. Watch this. Even in your own education, your own preparation will only bring you so far. You can go get PhDs and masters and multiple degrees, and that will only take you so far. But when you have the type of confidence in God where you trust God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will do things that would seem to be impossible. God will make it possible. Look, watch this. Watch this. Joseph is the favorite son of his father. Joseph's only assignment was to manage his brothers. He just would sit in the house, and the father would say, go check on your brothers. You got there, and he's... They're all right there. They're out there working. Ain't go about his business. Joseph goes from this houseboy to the second man in command, second one in command in all of Egypt. God gives him a business degree overnight. He ain't got no education. He has no work experience. Joseph has no work experience. But yet he sees and governs over all the affairs of Pharaoh with no work experience. He's over a Fortune 500 company and never worked a day in his life. Confidence in yourself will only bring you so far. But when you have the Godfidence, the trust in God, the God type of confidence, he'll bring you places that you never thought you would be. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply the increase
and increase your store of seed. And when enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, that God is the one who supplies. The source is the supplier.
I told you a couple weeks ago, your ability to receive will end before God's ability to provide. I'll say it again. Your ability to receive will end before God's ability to supply you. Your ability to take in will end before God's ability to sow in you. And you can prepare for much, and God will flow into your much and then overflow you. To the point where you say, God, stop, I can't handle no more. Stop, stop. I can't take it no more. I don't have no more room. And God will still be overflowing. His ability to supply will continue even when your preparation ends. Children of Israel goes to build the tabernacle. And God tells Moses specific dimensions and signs and the way. He gives out architectural structure on how to build a tabernacle. Then he tells the people, he says, we need you to bring offerings to build the tabernacle. The Bible says they came with these free will offerings so much that Moses had to say, stop. We got too much. Ain't that a good problem to have? When you want God to overflow you where you say, God, stop. The devil is a lie. Yeah, God, keep it coming, God. I'll be getting buckets and barrels and little cups. Lord, overflow all these areas, right? So God will, he will overflow you beyond your measure of preparation. 4 points of the overflow. Here it is. Point number one is source. Source. There has to be a source. There has to be a source. And out of that source comes supply. There has to be a source, and out of that source, there has to be a supply. And God will supply. He that sows sparingly shall, he that sows bountifully shall reap what? Okay, so there has to be a source of which that comes from, because God gives seed to the sower. So there's supply. Then watch this. Out of that supply, there has to be a demand. Many of us have not received the overflow in our lives because we hadn't put a demand on God's word yet. I'm going to say that again. You hadn't put a demand on it. There's supply and demand. If you go to a store and there's a hot product on the market, they can have supply. But if the demand is not great, then that product will be removed off the shelf. Then they'll have to end up marking the price down. Because there's no demand. So it's so cheap. But when there's a high demand, they can sell it for whatever they want because it's a high demand. Because people are putting a demand on it. Boy, that's strong language right there when you're talking about the things of God. Can we demand from God? A demand is a strong word. That's strong. But that's kingdom terminology. You have not because you, that's putting a demand on it. Not that I demand God to do it, but I can put a demand on the word. It's strong language that says that when I talk to God, I have the confidence to believe that God will do it. That when I ask of God, I have the audacious faith to say that God, what I'm asking for, I believe that it can happen. That's a demand. That I'm believing you for this thing, God. You got the supply. You are the source. God, I want some. Good God Almighty. You got it. I want it. Oh, God. You know, God has a storehouse in heaven filled with stuff waiting for you to ask. He got stuff. He got your healing. Your deliverance. All that stuff was paid for at the cross. We put a demand on it. Demand, demand. And then the other point to the overflow is replenishing. Because the way God operates is that God will always replenish. He will always refresh. God will never run out. That's why we said that, you know, when you have a yoke on you, take on God's yoke, and he will lift the heavy burden off your life. Why? Because he's bringing refreshing to your soul. He's replenishing you.
Replenishment. I told you, your ability to receive will end before God's ability to provide. Somebody shout, refresh me. Yeah, God wants to refresh you. Mark chapter number 4, it tells us this in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 36. It says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So this is what the kingdom is like. We're talking kingdom theology tonight, if I would. This is what the kingdom is like. God says the kingdom of God is like a man that scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know. Does anybody know how it is possible for you to put $10 in and somebody bless you with $100? Do you know how it is for you to work a 40-hour work week and to get a check at the end? You ever thought about that? Because really, if you thought about it, you wouldn't complain about working the 40. Because you put work in, so you expect to get something out. And if you knew the dynamics of what it took to work a business, then you would work for that business like you work unto God. And you wouldn't complain about it.
Okay, I'm messing up right now. In other words, you work like a slave but think like a master. Work hard, but then think like a master. How does this thing work? How do they order stuff and get stuff? See, watch this. Some of y'all on the jobs right now is just training ground for your business. Hey, God. Some of the things that you're doing here at the church and you're serving doing that, it's really preparation for the vision that God has for you. Y'all quiet. I think the Bible says it this way. It says that if you're faithful over one man's vision, God will give you your own. So as you're faithfully working for another, be diligent and vigilant to be watching. How in the world that happens? How you do that? Where you order that stuff from? Y'all quiet. I'm trying to give y'all a tip on how to be free off the plantation. Who's your supplier? Let me see how you do that. Who did you use to write your grants? Hello? So some of y'all, God got you in that place just to spy out the land. Hey, God. See, your job is not a job. Your job ain't a job. Your job is a stepping stone. Your job is an opportunity. Your job is an investment of wisdom, knowledge, and education. So while you're there, you should be learning. So you can go out and do your own thing. But see, the problem with that is watch, it goes back to sowing and reaping. You're trying to reap of something you hadn't sown. You're not a quality employee. You haven't served or you have not worked quality. So now you can't expect quality in your own thing. Oh boy, I'm stepping on some toes tonight. I'm going to quit this job, start my own business. But you was a bad employee, so guess what you're going to have? Hey, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do good because the employees you're going to have going to be, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Go start my own business. Why do I have this turnover in my employeeship? It's because you quit job after quit job and quit job, and everybody you hire going to quit you, and they're going to, because you sold it. You're going to what? Yeah. So we don't know how this thing works, so it would behoove us to learn how it works, right? Can you say amen to that? So we don't know how it happens, but watch this. All by itself, the saw produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. See, in order to get the overflow, you got to first pull up what God has already sent you. Y'all missed it. Some of y'all have the harvest, but it's still in the ground. There are some things that God has blessed you with already, but it's there, but you have not yet put the sickle to it. There are some things already in your house. See, God, I hear you. There are some things you have already that's a blessing to your life. It's just sitting on the ground, waiting to be harvested. There's some relationships. I hear you good, Holy Ghost. There are some relationships God has placed in your life that you have not reaped the harvest of. There are some people God planted in your life for a harvest in your life. There are some people God connected you with that is the answer to your overflow. Okay, here we go with the Bible. Joseph is in the prison. He's in the prison doing his thing. Doing what he know to do, manage things. He comes across this butler and the cupbearer. He prophesies into life, interprets a dream. Connection. One dies, one get freed. Boy, that sounds like the cross there. He said, remember me when you enter into your type and shadow of Christ. Two thieves on the cross. One dies a spiritual or natural death. One dies a physical death but inherits eternal life. Y'all missed that. I just caught it, Holy Ghost. Joseph is in a prison, a type and shadow of Christ. Talks to two thieves. One gets his head cut off, dies. Another one gets set free. So connection. One gets set free, goes back to his job, his occupation. He comes back. His boss says, I have this dream, and none of my men can interpret. And the cupbearer says, I remember a guy who interprets dreams. His name, he in the prison. Connection. There are some people God has connected you with that is the butler of your life. That'll open the door, and you have not yet even benefited of it. That ain't your gossip buddy. That ain't your doorstep, your doormat. You don't walk over them. They're a doorman to your future and your destiny. There's some people that you undervalue, underappreciate. And God said, I'll put them in your life to open the door to your breakthrough and your overflow. Some of y'all need to go home and repent. Call up that friend and say, I'm sorry I said those things. I'm sorry I treated you that way. I'm sorry I made you pay for that lunch when I had money in my pocket. I'm sorry that I told you I left my wallet at home. Really, it was in the car. You know, I'm sorry I did those things to you. I borrowed this stuff from you, never returned it. I'm sorry. Because God put them in your life to open the door. But then there are some bakers in your life. You need to go ahead and let it be off with their heads. I'm going to leave that alone right there. That's a whole nother message. You need to have those kingdom connections. Hallelujah. God's severing some ties with some folk. Because they're not kingdom connections. They were good for the season, but that season is over with. They were trustworthy then, but they're untrusting right now. They were good at the moment in your life when you needed them, but the need is over with. God will supply all your needs through his riches and glory. That need has been met. Move on. You did good to me at that time, but I don't need you now. Oprah is walking with Ruth and Naomi. And she said, go on home. Oprah said, see you, deuces. You were good for me in that season, but that season's over with. I'm gone. But there was one that clung and cleaved. Why? Because I need you for my destiny. You're about to open and release me into my purpose. God sent you into my life for this very reason, so that you can be the door to my breakthrough. You can be the opener of my overflow. You gotta value some people. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta go back and appreciate some folk. And you look at them and you say, you're not that great, but really they're great. Because if they do just one thing and that's just unlock the door, my God, that's enough. And you appreciate them for that. So there's a harvest that's still in the ground that y'all have not partaken of.
Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? How can we describe the kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom is like somebody who is a sower. God refreshes you. Why? Because he sows and pours into your life. But watch this. God says, as I invest in you, I'm looking for a return. I didn't refresh you just for you to sit on the sidelines and be refreshed. I'm refreshing you for a purpose. I'm looking for a return on my investment. I sowed the seed in your life. Where's my harvest? Somebody shout, refresh me. I'm almost done. Watch this. The ground's sole purpose is to produce and not to consume. Ooh, that's good. The ground, its sole purpose is to produce and not consume. The ground, the sole purpose is to produce and not consume. The ground's sole purpose is to take the seed and produce something and not to consume the seed so the seed does nothing. The ground's sole purpose is that it will produce harvest and not consume. When you put a seed in the ground says, I got this. I know my assignment, produce. And you know, in the church now in America, we have become more consumers than producers. I need a word, Pastor. Consumer. You got enough word, you should be giving word. Oh, I need the presence of God. You carry the presence of God. You're the ground. Produce. He pulled you out of the dust of the ground. You are dirt. You are earthen vessels. God says your sole purpose in life is to produce. But we have become consumers. The church has caused us to be consumers. We go to church because it's a nice atmosphere, the lights, got a children's ministry, my kids enjoy. Consumption. Consumption. Your sole purpose is to come into the kingdom, is to produce. The Bible says every seed produces of its own kind. Every seed produces of its own kind. What kind of seed are you? Because what you are is what you'll produce. If you're spiteful and hateful, you're going to produce spiteful and hateful. If you're mean, surly, you're going to produce. If watch this. If you're hateful and stingy, you're going to produce hateful and stingy kids. Mine, 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 mine. Where do you get that from? What you'll produce. What you are is what you'll produce. If you're not a thing, if you don't want that thing in your life, don't be that thing. Oh God, send me a loving, caring man that's very giving. Be loving and caring and giving yourself. Lord, give me a job. Be a good, sow some good seed. Oh, y'all hearing me tonight? If you don't want it, don't be it. Don't start nothing, won't be. Boy, that's a hood coming out in me, boy. Yeah. That which you want, you have to sow. You have to become. You know that great prophet that passed on? He had this prolific utterance. He said this. Watch this. Hear me. Catch hold. He said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. He prophetically uttered that. It was emphatic, prolific. What I want starts with what I see. Woo. So I'm going to start with the man in the mirror. I'm going to fix this first. So if I can get this right, everything else will be right. That if I fit my desires, then my desires will be right. Woo.
If I fit my wants, then my wants will be right. If I believe right, I'll receive right. But I'm starting first with me. I got to fix this first. And if this gets fixed, then everything else around me get. Let me sow good seeds. You know, I heard the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all need to go sow some good seeds in yourself. Okay, I'm going to go and free the church right now. You have sown into others when you should have been sown into yourself. You have grown depleted because you have sown over and above in others. Because you thought it was cute. You thought it was godly. I'm going to do the godly thing. No, keep that yourself. That was for you. There is seed and there is harvest. That when God puts seed in your hand, you got to say, God, what is this? Is this my seed or is this my harvest? Is this for me to sow into somebody or is this for my harvest that I have already sown off of? And some of you have given away your harvest and you're crying to God saying, God, where the harvest is? I gave it to you, but you gave it away. I ain't got no gas. I gave you gas money. I'm so godly, I'm giving. God says, I ain't moved by that. He that is willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So in other words, when God puts seed in your hand, first he says, are you willing and will you obey? I taught you before, willing and obedient, and that is a conjunction, the and. It happens simultaneously. So God says, are you willing first to give, and at the same time, are you obedient? So watch this. Not only do I have to have a willing heart, but I have to be obedient. Obedient to what? To what to do with the seed. So in other words, in order to be obedient, I must have a command or instruction to obey. Y'all not getting it yet. So when God puts seed in your hand, he says, you do have a willing heart. I get that. You're a very giving person. But can you obey now? So to obey, I must have a open ear, attentive ear to hear, to see where and what to do with it. Hello? So now what we do is we get to see and we say, oh, God, I'm so good. I want to give. God said, but I didn't give you an instruction to give. I didn't tell you to sow there. I didn't. Oh, I know it's good ground, but that ain't the ground I told you to sow in. I know that's a good, yeah, Pastor Key is good ground, but I didn't tell you to get at Pastor Key. That was for you. That was for you. And now you're belly aching about your lack. God says, I already given you provision. And you gave it away. He that is willing and obedient, I will to do, God, but I need the instructions to obey what to do with it. Oh, man. I'm going to get some hate mail from the preachers tomorrow. Good God Almighty. I need to raise up a security ministry. Where the big boys at? Where the big boys at? Can y'all walk me out to the corner? Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Why? Because the ground soul purpose is produced. And watch this, we're producing, but we're also consuming. We have consumed the harvest. Are you with me? Okay, watch this. There are two type of church people. There are consumers and there's producers. I'll make sure I'm reading that right. Yeah. What I said? Don't look at your neighbor. Because your neighbor may be a consumer. And if they feel you're a producer, walk to your car real fast. Hey, sister, look, let me, I'm a little low right now. And God's going to bless it. He's got to bless it for me. But consumers. Watch this. There are two type of kingdom people. Two type of kingdom people. No, there's producers and providers. Producers and providers. That's kingdom. Because just because you're producing doesn't mean you provide. But a kingdom person is a producer and a provider. Hello? Amen. Watch this. Abraham, you're blessed to be a... So you're a producer and a provider. Not only are you going to create, but you're also going to provide. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. When you come into the kingdom, God says, I want you to produce, but also I want you to be a provider. That's why in the book of Acts, the Bible says in the book of Acts that they sold everything, had everything in common, nobody lacked. They were producers and providers. Chapter number four, it talks about bringing all of the offerings and laying at the apostles' feet for what? The distribution. To provide. That's why people, especially as African Americans in church, we have a hard time giving to the church because the apostle have consumed instead of providing. Hello? Hello? And the purpose of the church was to be provided, was to be a provision to the body. Now watch this, kingdom people now produce so we'll have enough provision to provide. God set up a system so that there, watch this, this was God's economy for welfare. God says, I'm going to set up a system that when the widow go without, she can go to the church. That when the body was lacking, they can go to the church. They didn't have to go to the government. They didn't have to get WIC. Come on, somebody. They didn't have to provide no food stamps. He said, watch this. When the church is lacking, the church is, I mean, when the body is lacking, the church is providing. The people were hungry. The apostle, he said, you know what? We're going to set up a food system. Get seven men who are wise, got the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in them, and we're going to put them over the feeding program. So when people are hungry, they can come and get fed. I shared the testimony. I have a wealthy friend that I hang out with. Lord, send more wealthy people I can hang out with. I'm prophesying over my own life. Amen. Because I'm fixing the man in the mirror. I'm hanging around people that are where I want to go. But this wealthy friend said that I won't ever give my money to the church. He loved me. I'm going to try and get money out of his hand for the Lord. I'm your boy. Come on, man. Sow into this good ground. He said, I won't give my money to church. He said, I'd rather give it directly to the people. Because I know where it's going. I'd rather pull up to the red light and give the homeless man on the corner directly out of my hand because I see it. Because watch this, he had a bad experience. But if his first experience was a good experience, he would have been looking for another experience and another experience. Oh, let me break it down. He'd been looking for a church and another church and another church that he could give to. Why? Because the first experience was a good experience. So he'd be looking for that same experience again so that he can recreate that experience. Because he had a bad experience, he said, I'll never do it again. Wisdom of God steps in. Holy Ghost rests upon my shoulder. I said, well, who gets the glory at the end? Do you get the glory? Do God get the glory? Because this is what you have done. Now you get to boast in your giving. And God never set the system up like that. He set the church up to be the testimony of God in the earth realm. So that when the people are in need, they will come to the church and they will glorify God in their need. Being met. They glorify God. Not you. That's why willing and obedient. I got to say, God, who do you say give this to? So at the end of the day, it's not who I want to give to, so I'll be glorified, but I give you the glory because I sowed it in the place you wanted me to sow. So you get the glory. That was the setup of the church, was to be a distribution system that God set up in the earth realm that he would provide for his people, that at the end, he would get the glory. So you bring it to the church, you lay it at the apostles' feet so the distribution can go forth so that when people come, they can't say that Evangelist Tiffany did a great job. She thank you for serving me and meeting my needs. No, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. That was the problem with the rich young ruler. He wanted all the credit. I've done all these things. Look at me. I have kept these laws since my birth. Look at me. What else must I do, good master? Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? Now watch. It wasn't an indictment. Matter of fact, it was honorable, or should have been. Jesus should have been elated to be called good, because indeed he was good. He is without sin, without fault, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. 100% God, 100% man. Yes, I'm good, but no. Why do you call me good? You know why? I'm challenging you in this measure of goodness is because it is the standard and the measurement that you have set and not me. Y'all missed it. You're measuring me against yourself. And that was the issue, is because he wanted the credit for all his giving. And he considered that to be good. And he looking at Jesus, who from the outside was like a poor, impoverished man who walked around with no place to lay his head. But truth of the matter is, Jesus had a house, y'all. Go and read your Bible. Just because Jesus said the Son of Man had no place to rest his head, Jesus had a house. The Bible says that when he went to Capernaum, he went to his house, and the house was so packed with people that they couldn't even get at to rip the roof off of Jesus' house to lower down a paraplegic man. That was Jesus' house. And say, he went home. That's the word. Go read your word. So he had a house. But they looked at him and said, man, he ain't got no house. He ain't got no money. Look at me walking around these streets, going from pillar to post, you know, just sleeping on the mountain, praying in the mountain. Jesus must be poor. Gee, he wasn't poor. Hallelujah. Y'all quiet. Poor man don't need a treasurer. Judas would have had nothing to steal from. Y'all quiet. Hello? That's word. Jesus would have never said, feed them yourself, if he did not expect there to be money to feed the people. Now, y'all quiet. What should we do with all these people? They're hungry. Send them home. You go feed them. You got money. But we ain't got enough, Jesus. It's going to take a small army to feed. Hello. So watch. The kingdom of God is producers and providers. And I'm done. I got 1 minute. I want to end with that. Here's the benefits of the overflow. Benefits of the overflow. Are y'all with me? Write these down. First, write down Psalms chapter number 23. Y'all know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Somebody shall refresh me. He guides me along the right path. My God, thank you, Father, for guiding me. Thank you, Father, for guiding me down the right path. Thank you, God, for guiding me to the right church. Thank you, God, for guiding me to the right job. Thank you, God, for guiding me down the right path to the right spouse. Thank you, God, for guiding me down the right path to the right opportunities. Because every open door is not a good door to enter. Thank you, God, for leading me to the right door. He lead me down the right path. Watch this. For his name's sake. Watch this. At the end of it all, every good and glorious thing that happened in your life, God says he's doing it for his name's sake. So he can get the glory. Even in your giving, God said, if you will allow me to direct you in your giving, I get the glory. I want the glory. Can I tell you something? God don't mind you having the gold. He just wants the glory. Woo! Y'all quiet. He don't mind you having stuff. He just don't want stuff having you. That you will glorify him in all that you have. That you say, God, this all this stuff, it belongs to you. That's why Solomon called it all vanity. He looked at all this stuff and said, man, just because he stopped giving God glory for it. It became as dung unto him. He misplaced the glory. Put it on himself instead of glorifying God. But everything that God does in your life, he does it for his name's sake, that he be glorified. The souls to be won, the ministry to manifest in your life, the giftings and the talents, the anointing that rests upon you, God says it's on you for his name's sake. your prolific pontification, as eloquent and as grand and as glorious as you are. God says, I did all that because of my name's sake. I put that shine, that glow on you so I can get the glory. I do it for my name's sake. I do it for my name's sake. I'm closing. Watch this. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Who's with me? God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when you have to chastise me, God, I'm glad. But you also protect me. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup
overflows.
Somebody shout the overflow. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. God is chasing after you. Some of y'all running too fast, running from God. If you were pumped to break, God will run skid marks right up your back. He's chasing after you. Some of y'all hadn't experienced the goodness and mercy because you're moving too fast. Pump the brake and let it catch up with you. He says, watch this. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here it is, 9 benefits of the overflow, and I'm done. Write them down. The first is ownership. Somebody shout ownership.
Ownership.
The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, he is the shepherd, I'm the sheep. The sheep is owned by the shepherd. And whatever God owns, he maintains. Ownership. The benefit of the overflow is ownership. Second benefit is prosperity. Prosperity is just not monetarily, it's completeness, it's wholeness, it's self-preservation. God wants to complete you. That's the benefit. That when you gave your life to Christ, Zoe, Sotier, salvation, God says, I want you complete in all things. That's a benefit. Rest is a benefit. Peace is a benefit. Refreshment is a benefit. Guidance is a benefit. Protection is a benefit. Watch this. Honor is a benefit of the overflow. And lastly, anointing. These are the benefits of the overflow. That when God anoints you, you will overflow. Your cup will run over. But in order for that to happen, you got to power up. You got to power up in the word. You got to power up in worship, and you got to power up in water, the Holy Spirit. And God will overflow you. Get in your word, become a worshiper, and allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. Can you bow your heads with me on tonight? I believe somebody came in this place depleted, running on empty. You have given out all that you have to the point you have nothing left. You have given your all, watch this, even to your family and your spouse, and you have nothing left to give for yourself. You have given your all to everybody around you in need, giving your all to a bunch of consumers. You have produced and provided, and now you have no more provision. You're depleted. You're like David, just depressed and oppressed. You're like Solomon. It all become vanity. All that I have done, God, is in vain. But God has come here tonight with the word for your life that he wants to overflow you in refreshment, to refresh your soul. That's what the enemy is after, your soul. That's why your soul is troubled. That's why you can't sleep at night. That's why you toss and turn and toil all through the night. The enemy is perplexing your soul. God says, I want you to be refreshed and replenished. So tonight, drink of that water that you'll never thirst again. That out of that source, of that well, that you'll be able to draw from and to pour into others. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight for all those who have assembled here tonight. And I pray, God, out of a great well of your anointing, that you will pour into the lives of the individuals here tonight, that you will overflow them in. Refresh them, supernaturally tonight, God. They'll not worry. There'll be no stress. Be no struggle about tomorrow. For today, God, they'll be filled with your joy and your abundance. Do it now in Jesus' name. If tonight, if you feel that you have been depleted, today was a rough day. You have given your all. You left it all on the field, and you're going home with empty pockets. Your soul has been depleted. You gave your all to your job, and you have nothing left for you or your family. God sent you here tonight for a refreshing. If that's you tonight, you need to be refreshed. I want you to slip your hand in the air. A refreshing now. Lift it in the air. If that's you. Refreshing. I see you. I see you. I see you. I believe there's others. I see you. Refreshing. I see you. I see you. Hands are being lifted all over the place. I see you. I see you. I believe there's others tonight that would say, I need a refreshing from the Lord. The burden has become too heavy to bear. The yoke has become too tight. I need a refreshing tonight, Lord. If that's you, lift it up now. Lift it up now. That's it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you, Father. He's doing a work in your life. He's turned on the floodgate, the waters of the floodgate. Matter of fact, while your hand is lifted right now, slip them both in the air. If we all can do that, everybody slip your hand in the air tonight. Now, don't just shoot them straight up. I want you to angle them out like it's a funnel. Woo! I hear you, Holy Ghost. I want you to tilt them at a 45-degree angle so that you can now receive the overflow of what God is doing in your life now. Come on, open up your cistern. Open it up. Open up your well. The wider you spread, the more I got. Yeah, the more he'll flow in your life. Somebody drinking of it now. Hey, somebody's drinking of it now. Come on, get all you can get right now. Get all you can get right now. What you prepare for is what he'll provide for. The more you draw, the more he'll pour out. The more you tug on him, the more he will release in your life. If you would receive it on tonight, your preparation tonight is preeminent for your proportion of blessing that God will pour out in your life. Father, we thank you now for refreshing. We thank you that our souls have been refreshed on tonight.